here in John 7. Jesus is speaking. If you've got a red letter Bible, you might notice it's in red. That doesn't mean it's more holy than the black ones. But I just want you to know, this is not Floyd Jones's opinion. The Master is saying these words. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. There it is. Jesus is speaking here in Matthew 7. If you've got a red letter Bible, Jesus is the one that said, judge not lest you be judged. Just in case some of you thought, well, maybe Paul taught something different from Jesus there in Corinthians. Can we make sure we understand? It's the Holy Spirit that's guiding all this. It does say that in the Scripture, doesn't it? All Scripture is given by God. Inspired of God. All of it. All of it. That means for some of you that think Paul got in the flesh sometimes when he said things, you don't know what you're talking about, and Peter has something to say to you. That those that wrestle against what Paul says do so at the potential danger of the loss of soul. Well, I know Pentecostal churches just hate what Paul says. Half the time they correct Paul. Half the time. It's okay, the Corinthian church used to do that. He said, you know, basically there's not much to me to look at anyway. He says, but I'm coming pretty soon, and then there's going to be a test of power. Because the gospel isn't in just words, but in power. Judge not according to appearance. That's right. I can think of all kind of things that could look bad. And so since there are so many kind of things that could look bad, we're wise as serpents and harmless as doves if we do certain things about it. For instance, let's just suppose that the local whorehouse calls Brother Floyd. And one of the girls down there says, listen, y'all, you wouldn't believe what happens. I had one guy tell me he listened to my tapes for 4 weeks. Every night he'd start drinking, getting drunker and drunker, listening to my tapes and crying. Took about 3 or 4 weeks and he finally got saved. Today he's an elder at a church. Okay? But the point is, a lot of things start off looking pretty bad. So I get a phone call from the local whorehouse. And this girl, let's say, has been listening to one tape, says, I'd like for you to come down and bring a message down here at the house. Well, first of all, I would invite the girls to meet me at some conference room, some neutral zone. But if that were impossible, I'd take Shirley with me. I'd take my wife with me. Now, you're driving by, and sure enough, there it is. Caught walking out of the local house of ill fame. But there's Shirley with me, so either she's kinky. You see what I'm saying? Or what might appear bad really isn't. All right. Now, what I'm getting at is, as Christians, we need to be... Listen, they're going to talk about us and look for specks anyway. Therefore, it's incumbent upon us to at least do as best we can to not have it happen where there's no recourse. Let's read it again. Judge not according to appearance. But when you judge, judge with righteous judgment. Now, I have a question for you. How do you know righteous judgment? How can you judge by the Word of God, beloveds, if you don't know the Word of God? And if you're always reading paperback books, you haven't got time to read the Word of God. I'm going to go farther. It doesn't say read the Word of God. How many of you know that? The Bible never says read. What does it say, Bill? Yeah, it sure does. Study to show yourself approved. Study takes concentration of commitment, concentration of will. But that isn't going to give you revelation. So, see, that's your part and my part. But don't think for 1 minute you're going to understand the Scriptures with soul power and intellect. If so, then we could brag to God. Oh, God, are you lucky that I have such a high IQ so that I can understand that verse? You know, whoa, look, watch. Whew. That was a peacock with the tail feathers. Look, see those tail feathers? Oh, God. I sound like that Pharisee, don't I? Remember him? Look at this, God. Look at this. Look at all I did this week. Figured out all kind of doctrine, tithed, gave to the poor. Oh, it's wonderful. Now listen. I want you to understand again that several times Jesus refused to even speak to people. He wouldn't even speak to Herod. Wouldn't even speak to the religious leaders there in Matthew 21. By what authority do you do this? Jesus said, well, let's just see if you guys have an answer coming. This is the East Texas Floyd Jones version of what he did. I have a question for you first. Let's see if you're really seekers of truth. Good, honest scholars seeking light. The baptism of John, was it of heaven or of men? They got off to the side and said, hey man, this is bad news. We're on the horns of a dilemma. You know what a dilemma is? It means no matter what you do, your antagonist gets you no matter what you try. Either way, you get hooked by one of those horns. If we say of men, the people will stone us. Because those fools, those illiterate bumpkins don't have their PhD. And they think John's a prophet. But if we say of heaven, then he'll say, why didn't you listen to him? John said I was the Messiah. And we don't like either choice. And so they straddle the fence. Revelation has a lot to say about lukewarmers. There in chapter 3. They say, well, we can't tell. You see, Jesus judged. He judged exactly what was going on correctly. And said, and here's what he said in effect. If you're going to be that spiritually dishonest with me, having slain, at least by your approval, John, since not one Pharisee ever accepted John's baptism, that's what the Scripture says in Luke, I'm not going to answer your question, i.e., casting pearl before swine. In other words, Jesus gave us a biblical example of him practicing what he preached. But, yet, despite those examples, think. He spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He was a lost Pharisee. What was the difference? Jesus made a judgment. He made a judgment as to which man was coming to him wanting to really know the truth and which ones were coming just to argue. I'm going to tell you something. I don't argue. I was invited up to Texas A&M a few years back to debate evolution. I told them, sorry, I don't debate anything. I proclaim. And besides, I told them, you guys have been brainwashing those kids for 4 years. You won't even give me 3 hours uninterrupted to at least have enough time to lay out an intelligent counter to it? I said, you don't really want the kids to know they have a viable option. You just want a sideshow for 3 hours. And I said, I'm sorry. I'm totally uninterested. I said, and I want all of you to hear it. I never give the devil 50% of my time. Honey, when I get the floor, he's going to have trouble getting it back. Because I have too much trouble getting the floor. No, but see, Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman in John 4. And told her, he told Nicodemus he needed to be born again and told her all about living water. And that God was a spirit, and to worship him, you had to worship him in spirit. And then how about the woman caught in adultery? In the very act, there she was, this woman. Good grief! But he talked to her. Told her to go away and sin no more. Calling her to repent. Not just confess, repent. So did you get it? Jesus sometimes spoke to people. Sometimes he didn't. And the question is, how do you know when to do which? There's two ways to tell you the answer. There's more than two, but two's all you're going to get tonight. One is what we call walking in the Spirit. We mentioned that last time. But there's another way to say walking in the Spirit without saying walking in the Spirit. Besides, none of you like that very much anyway. It's too ethereal. You just can't, you know what? Can't get a grab on that. You know, what you really want are 10 commandments. So that you memorize them and pin them on your lapel. and I can point out that he isn't keeping one of them. See, I love those commandments because I can be very judgmental with them. But Jesus is teaching us a different way of approaching it. And he's talking about judging, and I'm showing you, you and I, if Jesus and Elisha needed to know, what do Christians act like? Sometimes they don't even talk to people that are chewing them out or that are threatening them. And other times, they do. Both men lost. Herod was lost. Nicodemus was lost. He talks to one, doesn't talk to the other. And the question is, how do you know? And how do I know? Well, that's what he's teaching us in this incredible chapter, and I'm so glad you're here tonight. It's knowing, do you see it? Knowing when and how to properly judge the situation you're in. Now, first of all, we're going to see that this has nothing to do with your ability. In fact, I hope that every one of you, in thinking on this, are afraid to just, quote, step out. I hope you are. Realizing we are the ambassadors of the King. It's kind of exciting because, by the way, I'm not only an ambassador, I'm a prince because the King is my Father. So I want you to see that verse 6 is clearly still speaking of judgment. Judgment. And the question is, if I were there when Jesus was there, in all those examples I just gave you, would I have known whether to speak or not to speak? Would you have known? I think you can see the issue is incredibly important because you're going to run into it tomorrow with your wife, your mother-in-law, remember her, your boss, your peers at the office, the people, the vendors you do business with. This is life. Fortunately, Jesus answered the question, no one sees that he did. It's verse 7 and 8. Glory. Ask. See, listen. Until you see that the whole context of this... See, Jesus, in telling us about judging, knows that anyone with any sense, by the time you get through verse 6, ought to be scared. He's already told you, I'm going to judge you like you judge. Whew! John? Huh? I don't know about you, but that kind of makes me want to kind of tiptoe light. Once you see that the whole thing is talking about judging, see, Jesus knows that right now everyone should be screaming within themselves, how do we know when, how, who to, and how to judge righteously? How do we know? And so he answers the question. The problem is Christians have all my lifetime, and especially in this, quote, charismatic renewal, tried to take this verse and beat God over the head with it. As I said last time, and I'm going to repeat it to make sure we've all got it. You're my child. We're at the zoo. We go to the concession stand. And I say to you, honey, anything you want, you can have. Daddy loves you. Just ask. Because I'm not stupid. We're at a concession stand at the zoo. $20 is your limit. You can't eat more than $20 worth of junk at a concession stand. I'm safe. Now, 1 week later, we go to Saks Fifth Avenue. Norton Ditto. The local Cadillac place. The local Mercedes-Benz place. Nya, 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 nya. And you come walking up to the right in front of Saks and say, Dad, you said anything I wanted. Whee! You're out of your mind. That is what I said, but you, beloved, are out of context. You're trying to take something I said and apply it to something that has nothing whatever to do with it. And that's what now, this should build faith because, listen, as I said last time, and it's so important to hear, almost everyone in this room has tried that verse. And sometimes you got a yes. May I tell you, God answers every prayer one of four ways. Yes, and immediately. Not bad. I can give you Bible examples for those. Sun stand still. Moon. And they did. It was an instantaneous thing. Not bad. I like those. Jesus said, rise. Pick up your bed and walk. Instant. Jesus said yes instantly. God says yes, but later. We're going to get new bodies. Not tonight. Well, maybe, but you know, it's possible. But the point is, we're all going to get them together. You can't get yours ahead of mine. Okay, not unless you die before I do. Then it's okay. I'll allow it. So sometimes God says yes, and it's later, not now. Timing's wrong. Timing's off. You better believe the lame man, the cripple at Gate Beautiful, had asked God to heal him many times before John and Peter came by that morning. Wasn't God's timing. He had been selected as that great healing that would testify to the resurrection of Jesus. They thought he was dead. But how can he be dead if this man was healed in the name of Jesus? See, dead men don't heal. Live men can. So sorry. Good prayer. Can't you see God? Good prayer. Love you, boy. Hang in there. Not yet. Sounds wonderful, but it was, but for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, that's hard, y'all. God made it up to him. Believe me. He's never complained now that he's seen the glory of God and realizes his life was but an eye blink. If you could ask him today, was it worth it? He'd tell you, yeah. If you could ask him during those 15, 20, 30, 40 years, nope. Nope. God answers, yes, but not at all in the way that you had in mind. Those are the surprises in God, that God has. He snickers on those. Bunch of those in the Bible. And then, and I praise His holy name for it, He answers prayer the fourth way. No, live with it. And I can show you a bunch of those in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you my own life, I'm glad God can say no in prayer because I've asked for some stupid things in prayer. I've asked for things in prayer that... Yes. Your teacher even sins when he prays sometimes. I have missed the heart of God so badly in prayer. So when we come to verse... See, God figures about six verses on judging is about all we can handle without getting pretty nervous about it. And so He gives us the answer. In other words, how do I know if I'm going to be judged by how I judge? And if I've got a big log in my eye, how do I get the log out? How do I know I got a log? And how do I help you with your speck? And if you've got a log, how do I help you get it out so that you can help me with mine? How do we do it? Jesus said, good question. Ask. And it shall be given you. I didn't know that. Well, I didn't get me a new car down at the local Cadillac place. But still, it's important to know about judging. Seek, and you'll find out how to do it. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh... I've got to stop right there. Teach you a basic truth. God says things that aren't true, but they are true. Don't you like that? Everyone that asks receives. Okay? Now, He's already given us some exceptions. Okay? Back at verse 6. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs and cast your pearls before swine. In other words, those guys may be asking, but they're not receiving. See, in other words, God lets you know when there are exceptions, when everyone doesn't mean everyone. It means everyone other than that group I just talked about. Got me? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The subject is judging to know so that you can judge righteously. It's the key. Listen, here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Drew, verse 7 is not an interruption in thought. We need God's help in judging. Otherwise, we do harm. Great harm. We need God's help in getting logs out of people's eyes. Charles, you just don't believe there's a log in your eye. And we need God's help in, are you ready for this? Humbling ourselves to agree that there's a log in our eye. And we need God's help in dealing with specks. Because the eye is delicate. The spiritual eye is delicate. Listen. When I start dealing with you, Al, about a speck in your life, listen, you guys come in here night after night and I deal with both logs and specks. I find that most of you get madder at me about the specks than you do the logs. You know, usually the log is so obvious, yet once God brings it up, well, doggone it, and I'll have some of you tell me, boy, you walked on my toes tonight. No, I didn't. I didn't even know what was going on in your life. I just let God guide me to bring the message that this group needed tonight. And so, get that straight, beloveds. Verse 7 is not an interruption in thought. It's the answer that should have been burning in your mind about, good grief, Tom, how do I know how to do this without getting myself on God's bad side? Because He's going to judge me like I'm judging. Now, do you see verse 8? I'm so glad you do. Verse 8. Do you see this word asketh, if, and seeketh, if, and knocketh, if? Do you see those ifs? If. Now, this is not true of every time, but it's true of an extremely large percentage of ifs in the Bible. When Tyndale translated the Greek that Erasmus had put together into English, Tyndale revived words that had already died in the English language. The King James was not 1611 English. Some of it was, a large portion of it was, but a great portion of it was part of the English language that had already not become obsolescent, but was obsolete. But those old English words contained verb tenses that are found in Greek and Hebrew, but are not in modern English. He revived them to get the verb teachings across. The words that you guys hate in your King James Bible are those words that he revived. For example, I've shown you this once before, but I need it to get this next one across. Let's do our little English lesson. I am. You are. Good. Okay. Singular. Come on, this is singular. First person, second person. Remember third person? He is. Excellent. Plural. Yes. We are. You are. What? You are? Well, you are singular. Oh, it's plural. Well, golly. Yeah. And they am. They are. Notice the weakness in modern English. The second person is the same whether it be singular or plural. So if I say, you're stupid, right? Or you do this or you this, you guys don't know. How would you know? You have to go by context. Tyndale did away with that. by reviving dead words. Every time in your King James Bible, every time, the word you are ye, that word ye that you hate so much, it's plural, second person plural. Every time, it's plural. Every time in the King James Bible, the word you are ye is used. It's plural. I'm going to tell you, there's stories in the Bible that are different from what you thought. You thought sometimes he was only talking to Peter, but the word is you. And the Greek word is plural. In other words, see, you guys don't know Greek. You say, oh, I don't know Greek. I don't know Greek. Don't need to. Kendall took care of you. Well, how would I know singular? Thou, thine, thee, singular. You know those words you hate? Well, what about the S? See, all right, now you got that? I'm telling you, the King James is so superior, there's nothing even close. And all these preachers that talk about it don't know squat. They don't know anything. They don't know that. It's because they're running deacons' meetings instead of studying. Are you ready? Sure is good not to have any to have to run a meeting. You hear what I'm saying? F's, F endings, F. Don't we hate it? Doeth, heareth, F. Yeah, but he did it. See, most of the time, you see that F ending. It's screaming a truth, and you guys don't know it. But you're going to after tonight, and I'm so happy you came. It's the present tense. Active voice. And what that means in everyday, in modern Texican, is it means a continuous action in the present. In other words, he didn't say, knock once. Knock and you shall, seek and you shall find. Then in the next one he said, he that seeketh. So he's making it very clear. You could actually get it if you knew Greek in the first one, but you can't. It's continuous action in the present. It means don't stop till you get the answer. For he that seeketh findeth. You know how most of us do? Oh God, what about it? What? No answer? Well, that's it. And so off we go. He that asketh. Oh my goodness, there went a bunch of charismatic garbage teaching. You only ask once. If you ask more than once, you ain't got faith. Jesus prayed the same prayer three times on the night he was betrayed. You see, I thought he said not to pray vain repetition. Whoa, tilt. Read carefully what you just heard. There's a difference between vain repetition and repetition. You just wait till it's your turn and you're in trouble and you're facing death. God, help, 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 help! None of that was vain. It was just repetitious. You say, well, that doesn't sound spiritual like a great man of God. Well, just wait till it's your turn and you won't sound so spiritual either. See, what I'm trying to tell you is it's real easy to sound spiritual with an air conditioning running and you're in a dry room in Houston, Texas. But, beloved, it's another thing when they tell you you're dying of cancer. It's another thing when they say your child is going to lose his leg tonight in surgery. It's another thing when they say it's your mother that we give 2 weeks to live. Now, let me tell you the good news. Anytime a doctor tells you that, let me tell you good news. That isn't the final authority. There's a higher court. Doctors make excellent mechanics. If I had my leg broken, my arm broken, I'd rather a doctor said it than you. I guarantee. Did you get it? God is telling us something. Persistence. Persistence. And you ought to know that, Dave. How did you get anything out of your dad and mom? Mom, can we go to the show? Can we? Huh? Can we? Huh? Can we? Huh? Okay. And God gives other examples of the widow woman with the judge, and she wanted justice, and he wouldn't give her justice. And she kept bugging him, and finally he said, I don't like her. I don't want to do it, but I'm tired of listening to her. And so even though it says he was wicked, he finally gave her justice just because she kept being persistent. And God says, now, if a wicked judge will do that, how much more a father that loves you in the first place? You hear what I'm saying to you? All right. So, beloveds, I'm sorry. The old pitch about pray once, and if you don't get it, and if you pray again, you haven't got faith, is not scriptural. You say, how do I know that? I don't know Greek. Can you read eth? Do eth. Knock eth. Seek eth. Ask eth. That's it. The vast majority of those are continuous action verbs in the present tense active voice. Okay? Some of them are even imperative. As a matter of fact, verse 7 is imperative. Verse 7 is imperative. Imperative? Imperative? It means God isn't saying, if you feel like it, if you're in the mood, it's a command. Verse 7 is a command. He's saying, all Christians need to know how to judge. And you don't. Therefore, you need to recognize you're dependent. Oh, I love it. Don't you see? It's a humbling experience to have to do number 7 and 8. You have to admit you hadn't got that much wisdom on your own. That's one reason why God keeps putting you and me in situations where we have to judge. The purpose is to humble us. Our problem is we usually reverse it. I can handle that. Give it an old Texas tug. You say, but how do I know God will do it? Why would God do it? See, God knows. See, God anticipates our questions. The problem is, beloved, when you and I read this, we don't see that these things are going questions, answers, questions, answers, questions, answers. Verse 9 and 10. How do I know God will do it if I keep asking and knocking? Because He reveals something about His nature. What man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give a stone? He said, look, even you guys, even you bunch of slobby sinners. He said, he didn't say that. Yes, he did. That's exactly what he says when you get to verse 12. Verse 11. Yeah, it does. Right there in verse 11. I just took the whole context. He said, look, if you guys will be good to your children, and you wouldn't think of... So see, some of you do God just like you did your mom and dad. Now I've got children and grandchildren. Let me tell you what makes me madder than anything. It's when the kid decides he already knows everything about me. Daddy, would you? Oh, no. You wouldn't. Boy, that used to make me mad. Kids, you don't know. You hadn't asked. Ask. Those of you that have never become parents, you have no concept of how great it is to bless them when they'll let you. Have no concept of the joy. Some of the most pleasurable moments in my life have been blessing people in my family. And God is saying, hey, if mere human fathers will treat their sons right, and even if they don't say yes, at least they didn't give you a rock. You understand that's mocking. You know, what a mockery, right? You're hungry and ask your daddy for food and he gives you a rock and says, go chew on that. And then look at the next one. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a snake? Dad, I'm hungry. Give me a fish. Well, here, try that diamond back there, boy. See what God is saying? And see, some of you do that with God. You say, God, oh no, you're not interested. You'd answer it for Floyd, the magnificent, yeah. But how about me? You see what I'm saying? See, what you're saying is, God is telling us what He's like, and we're saying, no, you're not. We're not aware of it. We're not doing it consciously. But it's just, Angela, it's just as dumb. If ye then, being evil, know how to... Oh, what would Schuller do with that one? Jesus says, if ye then, being evil... How many of you understand that this is basic, this teaching is for Christians? There's a lot of scripture for pagans. But most of the Bible is for us. To tell us how to live our lives, how to please God, how to walk with Him, how to enjoy Him. And even at that, he says, if ye then being evil. Well, Tom, now you know about me. I can only pretend just... You know, there's not much point in me wearing a white collar and some wonderful robes, because you all know what's underneath me. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask, and in context, and ask and ask and ask. That doesn't mean he'll never tell you no. But I'm going to tell you something, beloveds. If you're in here tonight and there's something you've been importuning God about, that means asking over a long period of time. If he hasn't told you no, then he hasn't told you no. Why did you quit asking? Now that is a lack of faith. Did you hear that? See, it's really the opposite of what the charismaniac teachers teach. What you did was you gave up. You decided he wasn't going to do it. If you hadn't heard no, then yes is still possible. It just simply may be, Melba, we're way out of timing. Way out of timing. Don't give up. Don't give up. Finale for the night. I got to show you one. We need a biblical example of this. Quickly, 1 Kings 3. What is our subject? What's the subject? Judging. And the need on our part for wisdom from God to so do. Right? That's what we've been talking about. And what did God say? If you need that wisdom, ask. Keep on asking. Seek. Keep on seeking. Knock. Keep on knocking. How many of you are facing decisions as a Christian that concerns your family? And you've got to make a judgment. You've got to. Seek, knock, keep it up. Don't stop. And you'll know. You say, how will I know? Doesn't matter how, does it? I thought the object was to find out, was to know the answer. See, God isn't going to do it like that, Lewis. He's going to deal with us as individuals. He may give to one of you. You may have heard the answer during the message tonight. He may have spoken to your heart. And you know now what to do tomorrow. To another, on your way home tonight, he may speak to your heart. Tomorrow morning, you may wake up and read the scripture. And this verse just jumps out of the page at you. Comes alive in your spirit. And the verse wouldn't say that to me at all, but it said to you, bye. Or sell, or don't, or do. And I just read over the same verse, and it didn't say a thing to me that morning. I just read over it, took a sip of coffee, and got to the next verse and said, wow, what a verse! That's what the Holy Spirit does to these verses. He tailors them for the individual moment and the individual need. I've been over that same verse. You've been over that same verse 20 times, 50 times in the past, and David never did that. I've even had him do it sometimes. Had someone send me some verses this week, pieces of some verses. Unbelievable that they could even find it. They were so off the wall, but they were precisely to do with what I was sharing with you last week about things in my life. I mean, precise. Verse 3, Solomon. Now listen to me. Solomon's got a problem. Solomon is young, and he's the new king. And his father was the most valiant warrior Israel had ever seen. His father was the ablest of all the kings as a statesman that they ever had. David had his sins, but what an act to follow. And Solomon, moreover, has inherited from David his mighty warriors, his generals, if you please, his cabinet. Now, do you get the picture? I'll put it, I wish I had a bunch of preacher boys in here. I'd have fun with that, you know. Here comes a 20-year-old boy. They just got out of seminary, and he goes to his first church and hears 15 old Baptist deacons who built that church, and they think they own that building. They can't wait to eat that boy alive and let him know who really runs that church. First mistake was they shouldn't have sent a 20-year-old to do a man's job. You hear me? You 20-year-olds in here, you can be as, listen, intelligent as I am. You can have the IQ I do, but you don't have the wisdom I do. It ain't even close. The two are not the same. The two are not the same. Intelligence has to do with knowing a lot of facts. Wisdom has to do with knowing what to do with those facts. And you get that by spending time in God's Word and by living long enough to make a whole bunch of mistakes. And hopefully living long enough to do something about some of them. No, listen. If you're 20 years old and I'm having a divorce problem with my wife and we're 55, I'm sorry. You just don't know what you're talking about. Have you got a wife and kids? You don't? Well, what are you doing preaching? You may be somebody's preacher in this town, but you're not mine. See, I happen to go by scriptures. How old was Jesus when he started ministering? 30. I wonder why. Because every Bible teacher in the whole Old Testament was 30 before he started ministering. You know, if God could just find a group that loved His Word and would live by it, there's no telling how much blessing we would get. Now, we hate God's Word, and the proof is we will not abide by the simplest of Scriptures. Oh, yes, Solomon's got a problem. He's going in to face these old grizzled statesmen and warriors who have seen David in action. Verse 3, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. Woo. Anyone see the word only? Do you know what the word only screams to Brother Floyd? A little leaven leavens a whole lump. And the most brilliant man that's ever lived until the time of Jesus and John the Baptist doesn't realize it. Doesn't realize it. And if you keep reading the story, it's going to bring him down. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place. That's where the tabernacle was at that time. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. I would say he offered them with a good heart. God saw his heart. God, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. A dream? Why a dream? He spoke to Moses face to face. Get used to it. God deals with different men of God in the Bible differently. So why don't you figure He's going to deal with each one of us in here as individuals? If God speaks to you audibly, fine. You say, well, don't you want it? Not yet. I just do not have this sin nature around when I hear it. You remember what all the children of Israel did at Mount Sinai? Tell Moses, tell God He can tell you. Up until then, they said, Moses, we don't believe you. We want to hear for ourselves. So God spoke. And the people said, scared the bejuniors out of us? That's the Northeast Texas loose translation. Moses, just tell God to tell you, from now on we'll listen. They didn't, but they spoke a good word. A dream by night. God said, ask. Ooh, sounds like Matthew 7:7 to me. We're learning. We're going back into the Old Testament, Tom, to get a biblical example of it. Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, you have shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. He said, boy, were you good to my daddy. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. I got a question for you. Some of you come to me from time to time and say, Floyd, I had a dream. Here's the dream. Do you think it was God? I would like for you to observe that biblically, when people had dreams from God, They didn't wake up the next day and go ask Floyd the Magnificent if the dream were from God.